I'm going to talk about a project that we've been doing probably with developing chromosome segment substitution lines. Let me start timing myself. And it's taken many, many years. And in fact, we've moved through several different genotyping technologies. So lots of people involved, NSF funding, University of Arkansas has run our grants through since I'm USDA. It's been joint with Cornell University and Chunam University in Korea. So as background of this, in Rice, I was moved into Rice in the mid-90s, and at that time they'd started a project where they took one Rufopogon, which is the progenitor species of cultivated rice, done crossing program, identified this one, which we call 105491, as a very crossable parent, and crossed it with a variety of backgrounds, including a hybrid rice that was irrigated, Gapa, upland, temperate Japonica from Korea, IR64, which is a mega variety in a lot of Southeast Asia, and a Texas variety from the U.S. So everybody crossed with the same line, got mapping populations. The interesting thing out of it was they saw yield advantage in, or transgressive variation in about six different chromosome regions on 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 9. So it was interesting, you know, with the different backgrounds. So why did this happen? To really get at the background, we need chromosome segment substitution lines in rice. If you know, there's a big subgroup they call indica. That's more the tropical stuff around the equator. Japonicas are more in the cooler climates. Those are the two big subspecies. When you hear of rice hybrids, they've crossed between those two groups to get hybrid vigor. So there is a focus here on transgressive variation, hybrid vigor. And so the objective then of this study was to develop these chromosome segment substitution libraries. In my former life, I actually was a cytogeneticist, but then we didn't have markers, so we couldn't stair step so nice. If you're not, so what is a chromosome segment substitution line? I'm going to say CSSL for now because it's quicker. And basically, it's a whole set of lines that stair step through the donor genome. And we've called them libraries. When I did a review article, I came back and people said it looks like NILs, and which is this is neuroisogenic lines. So this is a diagram. Across the top is the 12 rice chromosomes, and this was done with SSR markers. It's in our article on CSSLs we did in for Rice, the journal. And these are the lines composing it. And you see it sort of stair steps through chromosome 1 all the way through chromosome 12. And you do have background, as you might expect. So what can we do? This enables us to sort of dissect out quantitative traits in a way you can't do otherwise. Look at minor effects. You actually have some materials you might be able to breed with. You can look at cross within it. Once you get sort of down to the region, you can make some more crosses and actually get to gene function types of levels. So yeah, sort of what I covered here. Single factors, so it's a very useful set of materials, but it's a big job to develop them. So what we did, we embarked in about 2007, and we had a collection of 259 Oryza rufopogon lines, which we'd gotten from Erie, and at that time we just genotyped with 49 SSR markers. And you can sort of see the distribution throughout Southeast Asia. And this just came out about 2 weeks ago, this report. It's since been done with GBS, genotyping by sequencing, the same set, but describing this whole collection, the genotypic and domestication, or how different the different sets are. And that's what this figure is taken from. But I don't have time to talk about it all. So what we did was started a crossing project. So we picked a couple. Remember I said there's indica and japonica rices. So we took a couple of indicas, and we ended up settling on what is the mega variety in Asia, IR64, and that's the red dot here. It's supposed to be in the Philippines. And we crossed with a couple of japonicas, U.S. lines. In the U.S., we grow basically tropical japonicas, and it settled on the semi-dwarf that was developed in Arkansas. And then we picked donors. It was interesting, even with the two backgrounds, as we did the crossing and compared the other lines, it was like the people doing it, they crossed well with both parents. And some of them, as they talked about it, say, oh, that one just doesn't cross. That one's no good. But I thought it was interesting across the two different backgrounds we were seeing that. These donors are from China, Laos, and Indonesia. So to give a little more, this is a clustering to just show, illustrate what I just said. The colored are the Oryza sativa lines that were genotyped with a 6K chip by Illumina. So it's got the indica types, which are subpopulation group indica and Ausch, and they sort of, this one's hard to see, it goes off of this little tree here. We've got another japonica. These are tropical and temperate, and it sort of comes off this little branch here. And what you notice, all the black are the rufopogons. And these, some of them cluster within the indica sort of part of the branch, and very few with the japonica, just this little group, but some are separate. They don't like anybody. And if you can't read well, it's shown here, but these are three parents then. We ended up with one parent that was sort of independent of the wild donor, one that was this was the indica-like, the independent, and a japonica-like donor. And then we had the parents, as I mentioned earlier. The IR64 is an indica line, and the cybonid is a japonica. And there's baby pictures. So, and I have the same information to keep it straight. One's Kaupau. I've tried to put that in rather than the numbers. W1944 is the japonica-like. And if you can remember how wild this looks, how lanky. And then this is the independent group. There's the donor parents. So a big crossing program. I'm not going to go into all the details, or I won't get to the end. Basically, you could see when we started out, we were in SSR markers. Then SNPs were a new in thing. Then we started genotyping. We tried to follow each generation, pick them, the ones to advance based on how much integration, try and follow the segments we had. So that's what we used the chips for. So we had 384, and that was a challenge to find that many markers. And as technology advanced, we've gone, like some of you mentioned with the soybean, to the 6K Illumina Infinium array, and then we were able to genotype everything. And we're in the process of completing data analysis on the final sets with genotyping by sequencing. So just to give you a little idea, these are with the 6K, the coverage. So I have the one set here. The way this goes is, this is the cybonnet, or the japonica-like. This is the indica donor. And then this is the independent group, the indica-like, and this is the japonica. So you see the coverage even varies depending on how you pick the SNPs. And that's shown here, the number of SNPs that work. And it's so sensitive. What we found, going back, we're having trouble with monomorphic regions. And so this is a little dated because we found out the initial crosses were made with three different donor parents, and we were able to pick that up. So we had to make Moni Singh, who did a lot of this recent work on the genotyping end, found that she had to make sort of a pseudo parent to work with the alleles and recall all the markers. So what do they look like? If you remember, these are your chromosomes across the top. Each of them have about 80-some lines. The light blue is the cybonnet background. The red is the indica. And you see they're pretty clean. And remember, all of these have about 1,500 SNP markers, a few background integrations. So what I've got is three different sets of pictures that show all six libraries. You can sort of compare. There is the indica independent seems to cross less or get less background in it. We've got some background, but not a lot. And most of these are four backcross and about two or three selfing generations is what we've done. And this slide then shows the blue is the cybonnet. That of the recurrent parent, they're basically about 95%, most of them, of recurrent parent. Integrations, just zero or just a couple of introgression pieces and the backgrounds are longer segments and the background just a couple of segments in them. So those look pretty clean. Similarly with the indica-like one, we have a little bit more background. I think that's because it crosses a little better than the independent. Remember, it clusters closer. And nice and clean. I mean, this is some of the cleanest material. People have developed these before. That's not unusual, but not this clean of background. So a lot of recurrent parent, pushing 95% on everything. Lengths, a couple of 3, 4, or 5 megabase regions, and not too many background integrations on most lines. And then Japonica-like, we had a lot more trouble with. There are not many in the collections. Those that are available came from China. This was actually one that Japanese had collected and had been worked with and were able to make cross. And remember how lanky and tall it looked? It was also much more difficult to cross with. So we have some regions missing. It wasn't back to cross. It needs another round of back crossing. This one more round of back crossing cleans some of it out. And you can see less recurrent parent, longer integrations, and more background. So watch my time here. So what we did to get some phenotypic data in the lines we have, we've been doing the final genotyping and collecting typical traits that are easy to do, days to heading, plant height, color, stem color, shattering, length, and red or the pear, it has a darker hull color and red brand on some of them, just so we can get to see, illustrate how you can get to the candidate gene level by selecting based on that. And this is a quick illustration. So what you have here, you have a green stem, purple. This is actually light and green and purple. You can go into your genotyping. Or in anthocyanin production in rice is controlled by 3 different genes of the anthocyanin pathway that have been reported by several. And the one we're going to focus on is on chromosome 4. If you look down here at the bottom, this is the parent, his heterozygous. And then the green, this first section here matches, does not have any wild donor, so it's green. This is homozygous purple. This is actually a lighter purple. It's heterozygous. The green matches here and the red here. So this is in the same location then as the BHLH, which is basic helix loop helix gene locus that's part of the anthocyanin pathway. So in the field, as I ran through, I just pulled some pictures. We grew the cybonnets in the field this summer and some last summer. This is the donor parent, and this is all introgressions at the end of chromosome 1. It's well known. This is the Green Revolution gene area for semi-dwarf, and it shows real nice. We go from about 80, 90 centimeters to 120, and you see how much more lanky this is the one that looks so wild as a parent. I put that in the way it looked. We looked at a couple others. It's interesting, I saw the days to heading. This is reported actually on top of chromosome 6 as HD3A. You see, this was taken in September. They hadn't headed yet. They've since headed in the greenhouse under our short phase, but I did not see it in the Japonica-like donor, so there are differences. Another one, tiller angle control. Yes, it's much more wild, bottom of chromosome 9 compared to cybonnet. Shattering, walking through the field. This is at the very end of chromosome 4, and only in this particular indica-like line, you can see, no seed. And looking through what I had and the notes I had quickly, I noticed across all 3 populations, this is in the center around the centromere and chromosomes, that center area on chromosome 7, they all are a little shorter, so maybe it's a plant height gene. There are other ones other than the big Green Revolution gene. So those are the kinds of things you can start to look at. So conclusions then. I think it's a real useful thing for the community. Since we got the donor parents from Erie and we've signed the treaty, they will have an SMTA on them. distributed to, through the Genetic Stock Center at Stuttgart, also a database with all the genotyping data so people can use it for whatever. And hopefully I'm trying to set up a study to look at, actually get at transgressive variation, and I put in a NIFA grant because we don't have money. It's going to be a lot of phenotyping to get at that, to try and dissect this out a little better. And interactions, novel genes, it's, breeders could use it and cross with it straight or do a little more crossing into their background. So, and it takes a team of people. Two grants and some ARS money, Cornell money, and lots of phenotyping and crossing. So, and I'm out of time.